I'm so thankful for
our Savior and the opportunity together. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 20 this morning. Luke chapter 20 and find verse 34 if you could. Thankful for the choir and their hard work. And what a Savior. You know, we think about the cross, we sing about the cross and what Jesus did for us, and I think we should always remember the sacrifice of our Savior. But I think it's vital that we remember every day that he only spent 3 days and three nights in the tomb. That was it. It's what he promised, it's what he did, and he is alive today. And this is our hope. And I just want to speak to you today about the reality of the resurrection this morning. If you're able, let's stand together. We're going to read verses 34 through 38. Luke chapter 20, verse 34. And Jesus answering said unto them, "The children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy of to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die any more. For they are equal unto the angels, and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush, when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him." Let's pray together. Merciful Father, as we come before your throne today, I just thank you so much for the privilege that we have together to worship you. I thank you for Jesus, who not only died to pay the sin debt that we all owe, but rose again the third day. Help us to understand the truths of the resurrection today. Help me to preach by the power of your Spirit. I pray that if anyone hearing this message, either here in person or online, if they've never believed, if they've never repented and trusted in Christ as their Savior, I pray today your Holy Spirit would convict them in such a way that they would repent and believe the gospel and call on your name today and receive the gift of everlasting life. I pray for all who are saved that we would be fully surrendered to you, and that our lives would reflect the hope that we have of the resurrection, Lord, the promise of life everlasting, and the truth that our Savior is alive today. Please help me, Lord, for I am nothing without you. I pray that you give me the strength that I need today, and I pray that your will would be done in every life, that Jesus would be exalted, and that you, God, would get all the glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated. Oliver Wendell Holmes lived through some of the most momentous events in American history. He was a young officer in the Massachusetts militia, wounded three times during the Civil War. And then he went on to have a great legal career. He was appointed to the Supreme Court by Teddy Roosevelt and served as a justice for nearly 30 years. He was a respected man, and on the occasion of his 90th birthday, he was on a radio broadcast and said some things. But at the end of that radio broadcast, he wanted to end his remarks with this: "So I end with a line from a Latin poet who uttered the message more than 1,500 years ago, 'Death plucks my ear and says, live, I am coming.'" Now, that may not seem very encouraging to you this morning. Death plucks at your ear and says, "Live, because I'm coming." I want you to understand today that the reason my life and your life is worth living, in spite of the fact, the reality that death is coming for all of us, is because Jesus lives. We want to understand the truth today that if we're not for the risen Savior, then we are all wasting our time. If Jesus didn't rise from the grave, if he wasn't risen again, if he is not alive today, then you and I are nothing but worm food. I'm trying to make you feel good this morning. I don't know how to help you. I'm trying to tell you today that life without the resurrection of Jesus Christ is futile. It is pointless. It is vain. If there is no hope for eternity, then there is no hope at all. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is risen, he is alive, and you are more than worm food. I want to get that out in the beginning because some of you need that encouragement today. You're more than worm food. You're more than dust that will turn back into dust. You're more than that. And you matter, and your life matters, and your eternity matters. And we can live, even though death is saying, I'm coming, we have a life to live, and we get to live our life for the glory of the one who died for us and rose again. The resurrection is a biblical truth that there were those in the days of Jesus, even religious quote-unquote people, the Sadducees, you see, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in spiritual things. They didn't believe that when you died there was any hope to be raised again. That's why they were sad, you see. Man, that joke never lands. I keep trying, and it never works. I don't remember who told me that the first time, but it stuck with me, and so you get the benefit of it. The Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection, but the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And I want to tell you, if I didn't believe in the resurrection, I would be very sad too. I spent some time doing a lot of reading. I spent some time on social media while I was in isolation, and you should pray for me because I spent time on social media while I was in isolation. I read a lot of news articles about things going on in our country, and it's really sad. Did you know in Oxford, at the School of Music in Oxford, they want to do away with sheet music? You can't make this stuff up. They want to do away with sheet music at the School of Music at Oxford because sheet music is racist. I really didn't mean to make that as a joke. What is going on? I thought I'd seen it all when we can't have Mr. Potato Head anymore. But now music is racist. It's exactly how I feel. We see police officers at our Capitol being murdered. We see mass shootings happening for no reason. We see families that are falling apart. We see corruption on every level of our government. I asked my Sunday school class, when you think of the word corruption, what do you think of? And the first answer was politicians. It's discouraging, isn't it? This is the way our society is, the way our world is, but I'm here to tell you today that we have hope. This world is discouraging. This world is full of sin and sorrow and sickness and death, but there is hope. There's purpose. You see, death is a harsh reality. I can appreciate the fact that a lot of families, and this is something I probably shouldn't say, but you guys usually listen to the stuff I shouldn't say better than the things I should, so I can appreciate the fact a lot of families now, we used to have funerals. When somebody passed away, we would have a funeral. Then memorial services became very popular, and now we call them celebrations of life. And I get that. I understand the sentiment behind that. We want to celebrate the life of our loved ones who passed on. But I want you to understand there's an undercurrent to that. And if you had a celebration of life for somebody in your family, I'm not trying to attack you this morning. I understand, okay? But hear this. A lot of people in our world today cannot handle the reality of death. A lot of people, they don't have a celebration of life because they want to celebrate the life of their loved one. They want to pretend that they're not gone. But that's not true. All of us have a limited amount of time on this planet. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. You want to understand the purpose of the resurrection, why the resurrection matters so much, why Easter Sunday matters so much? Because death is real. And I'm not trying to be a negative Nelly this morning. Nobody's named Nelly here, are they? Okay. I used to say Nancy, but then there were some Nancys, so you know. Everything's offensive. I'm not trying to be a downer today. I just want you to understand the reality that death is coming for all of us. It's true. And that's why the resurrection matters so much. Romans 5:12 tells us, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, we have a death problem in the world today. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. You see, when God created the world, he created it in goodness and actually in perfection. And he set Adam in the garden and he gave him a wife and he gave him a job to do there. And they could live in perfection. They could live without sin. They could live forever with fellowship with God. They could have done that. God created it that way. That's the way he made the world. But he also gave man free will. And he told Adam, there's one tree that you can't partake of the fruit thereof. If you do, when you do, you will die. And they did. And they died. And sin passed upon all because all have sinned. Death passed upon all because all have sinned. And you and I have a death problem in the world today. He goes on in 1 Corinthians 15:22 and says, for as in Adam, all die. In Adam, you're dead. You have the blood of Adam running through your veins. You are a sin-cursed person. And listen, Brother Ben said it the other day, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. It's our nature to violate the commandments of God. It's in our spiritual makeup. It's in our spiritual DNA. We are corrupt. And so we have death and we have sin. But there's good news today, friends, because as in Adam all die, even so in Christ you'll all be made alive. And if you're in Christ, you will be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after were they that are Christ that is coming. The purpose of the resurrection is to understand, friends, that death is real and death is coming for all of us. He plucks at our ear and says, live, you better live because I'm coming. But I want you to know that if you are in Christ, though death comes, yet shall you live. Talking about the resurrection is good. Having the actual ability to resurrect yourself is something altogether different. Could I say that I'm going to die in a little while, in 3 days, rise again? I could say that. Could I make it happen? Nope. No. There's one who has power over life and death, and that's not you, and it's not me. But there is one who has the power of the resurrection. Romans chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4, Paul writes to the church and he says, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. All of the power that we know about Jesus, I mean, we see he was able to turn the water into wine. He could make the blind able to see. He could make those who couldn't speak able to speak. Those who couldn't walk, they could walk. He even raised the dead to life again. He called Lazarus out of the tomb. But that was nothing compared to what he did, because he willingly laid down his life. When he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. And then he gave up the ghost. He expelled his spirit from him, and then 3 days later, he took his life up again. That's our Savior. That's the demonstration of his power, is in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I don't know how I spent most of my life going to church. I was saved when I was 14 years old. I don't know how I spent most of my Christian life not really comprehending, and I'm just now starting to understand how vital the truth of the resurrection is to everything. And it really ought to be pretty obvious to us that if Jesus didn't die and rise again, then there is really no hope. But he did. I want to ask you to look to Acts chapter 13 with me. Acts chapter 13 and find verse 26. And I want you to consider this sermon that was preached and some great truths about the resurrection here. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Just real quick, I'm going to make a little commentary as we go, but this is a message for the Jews first, and also to the Greeks. This is a message to anyone who fears God. So as we go through this passage this morning, you need to look in your heart and see if you fear God. This message is going to hit home with you if you fear God. If you know that there's a God in heaven, the creator of the heavens and earth, if you know that you don't need to fear him who is able to kill the body, but him who is able to kill both soul and body in hell. And so you need to understand who we sit before today, who we come before today, and there's a message for you who would fear God so that you would hear the word of salvation. Verse 27 says, "For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath day, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain." Every day, every week, the Jews would come together in the synagogue. Every week they would open up the scriptures, and every week they would read the prophets, and they would read about Messiah. They would read about the one who was promised to come. They would read about how he would die. They would read about how he would be rejected of his own, how he would be the stone, the cornerstone that was set of not of the builders. They would read about him, but they wouldn't understand it, and they wouldn't know him, and therefore they would fulfill the prophecies of Jesus that they didn't believe in. They would be the very instruments who would fulfill the scriptures that they were reading coming from their own mouths. Are you guys with me? They would be the ones who would see it, who would hear it, who would read it, and who wouldn't get it. Now we might shake our heads at that. We might go, how in the world could you be a Jew and hear all this truth about the Messiah? And when Jesus shows up, how do you not recognize him? How do you not see? How do you not believe? But I wonder, are we not the same today? Do you know how many people have sat and listened to a message about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in Baptist churches all over the South, all over the country, all over the world, who have heard the truth of who Jesus is and what he's done, and they have missed him, and they do not know him? And I plead with you today to hear and believe. Verse 29 says, "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead." They fulfilled everything that was written of him. You can look just to the Psalms. Psalm 2, Psalm 16, Psalm 22. You can look to Isaiah 53. Everything that the prophets said of Jesus, he fulfilled it all. They pierced him, his hands and his feet. They ripped the beard from his face. They spit in his face. They reviled him. They looked at him who they pierced, and they reviled him. They mocked him while he hung on that cross. His visage, his face was so marred that he didn't even look like a man. And when they had fulfilled it all, They didn't break his legs like they broke the legs of the malefactors on either side. But they pierced him through the heart, the spear. blood and water came out. And when they had done all that the scripture said Jesus would endure for the sins of the people, they laid him in a tomb. I believe exactly as Jesus said, for 3 days and for 3 nights he laid in that sealed tomb. But God raised him from the dead. The power that created the heavens and the earth and all that in them is, the power that gave the prophecies of Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection, the power that fulfilled every word of every prophecy, the power that conquered sin and death, the power that defeated the grave, the power that fulfilled all the holy law and all the prophets, the power that was in Jesus, raised Jesus again, and God raised him from the dead. And that same power he gives to all who call on his name, that they will live too. That same power that brought Jesus from the grave. Verse 31 goes on and says, he was seen in many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto his us their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second psalm, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Wherefore he saith also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Jesus Christ died, God raised him again, and forgiveness of sin is available to those who believe. Now, maybe you don't think you've done anything that requires forgiveness. But I want you to know today that God's standard is absolute perfection. I'm looking around the room. Say we had a contest to see who could jump the highest. Okay, we could do that. You guys want to do that? Line up. Anybody? Now, I'm not saying that there's not anybody in the room that can't jump higher than me, but I'm saying that almost everyone in the room can jump higher than me. This is not a competition that would go well for me. But there is someone in this room that could jump higher than all the rest of us. Right? Ben McDaniel's pretty sure it's him. He also thinks he can run 3 miles in 30 minutes. He doesn't. Somebody in the room can jump higher. And so many of us, that's kind of the way we approach this thing of sin and forgiveness and eternity. Well, I can't jump as high as LeBron, but I can jump higher than Isaac, so I'm good. But the problem is, it would be, the goal would not be to jump higher than everybody else. The goal would be to jump to the moon. Now, that's just stupid. Nobody can jump to the moon. That's ridiculous. That's an impossible standard. That's the point. God's standard is absolute perfection. And you may be better than somebody else. And somebody else is surely better than most of us. But that's not going to work on the day of judgment. God's not going to get us up together and say, okay, who's the best? He's going to judge each and every one of us according to his word. And every one of us have fallen short. Either you're absolutely perfect or you need a Savior. And the reality is none of us are perfect. We're all in need of forgiveness. You say, well, I haven't done anything too bad, but it doesn't matter if you've been in one point, you're guilty of all. I just real quick, how many of you, I mean, we talk about it all the time, have you lied? Have you stolen? But how many of you would have to admit today that you've taken God's name in vain? That you've used the name of God or Jesus without reverence or respect? If you've done that, you've blasphemed the holy name of God, and the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes the name of the Lord in vain. And we're guilty and we're needed forgiveness, and you can be forgiven because Jesus died and rose again. Forgiveness of sin is available to you. This is the power of the resurrection. Through this man who died and rose again is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Not only forgiveness, but justification. In verse 39, he said, by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. I tried to do good. I tried to do what's right. And we meet people all the time. How do you know that you have eternal life? Well, I'm a good person. I've tried to do better. I used to do bad things, and now I don't do bad things anymore. No, you're trying to keep the law, and you can't be justified that way. So forget the justification that's by the law. Receive the justification that comes by the faith of Jesus Christ. He has the power to save you. He has the power to forgive you. He has the power to make you right. He has the power to raise you up again at the last day. We see the purpose of the resurrection is to defeat death. The power of the resurrection is in Christ alone, and the promise of the resurrection, John chapter 5, verse 28. John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. If you read these verses alone, it's a terrifying prospect. You hear what he says? One day, God's going to call out and everyone's going to come forth from the grave. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. I don't know if that concerns you, but if I'm honest today, I've done evil. Have you? And if you leave these verses alone, it might terrify you, but can I just give you some good news? Just rewind a little bit back to verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What is the good thing that you must do to inherit eternal life? It's not keep the law perfectly. You can't do that. The good thing that you must do to have eternal life, the only way that you can be forgiven, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to let go of yourself and your own goodness and your own religiosity, to let go of everything that you might hold on to. You let go of it and you just grab hold of Jesus and him alone. You look to Calvary and you see the Savior who died on that cross for your sins, and you cling to him and you hold to him and you trust in him alone, because he's the only way to have life. John chapter 11, verse 21. John chapter 11, verse 21. Hard to think about the resurrection without thinking of this passage. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Jesus didn't just resurrect. He is the resurrection. He didn't just come back to life again. He is the life. He is everything. He is alive, and he is worthy of all our devotion and life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 and following, Paul paints a pretty bleak picture. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep or dead in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Listen, friends, if there is no resurrection, then Christ did not rise again. Our preaching is pointless. Our faith is futile. The disciples were deceivers. Iniquity is inescapable. Death is absolute destruction. And hope is hopeless. But now is Christ risen again. He is alive. And our preaching is not pointless. The preaching has the power of life everlasting, because it pleased God through the preaching of the cross to save them that believe. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Our faith is not futile. Our faith is founded on the one who died and rose again. Our faith is the way to life everlasting. Our faith is the way to live a life filled with hope. The disciples weren't deceivers. They preached the truth. They were eyewitnesses of the risen Savior. They saw him die on the cross. They saw him laid in the tomb. They saw the risen Savior for 40 days and nights after he rose again. Iniquity isn't inescapable. You are not still in your sins if you're in Christ. And you don't have to live as though you're still in your sins. Death does not mean destruction. The dead in Christ have not perished, but the dead in Christ are alive. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And hope is not hopeless. There is hope for today. There is bright hope for tomorrow when your faith is in Jesus. I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and I want to share just a couple more verses with you while they're coming. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I want to ask you this morning, is your faith today in Christ alone? Are you trusting in him alone to give you eternal life? If you're not trusting in Jesus today, I plead with you, to turn away from your sin, turn away from your unbelief, turn away from your trust in yourself and your good works, and trust in Jesus alone. And if you are trusting in Him, you have the promise of everlasting life from the one who conquered death and the grave. And you can live this life victorious through His power and His Spirit. Let's stand together. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. A decision that you need to make for Christ today. If you've never been born again, I ask you, you can come and I'll help you see from the Scriptures how you can have eternal life. If you know what you need to do to be saved, you can pray right where you're standing, but make sure that your faith is in Jesus alone today as we sing.